Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Hey, glad to have you with us today. It has been a week. I may sound a little bit hoarse. It's been a busy couple weeks here, but we'll be good. But it has been a very eventful week this week. And so we're going to talk about some of the highlights and what it means and how it's important. First off, let's start with the Homeland Security announcing that they are going to be doing a disinformation board. Now, that has very frequently been correlated with Orson Welles' 1984. So I guess you could say we're going back to the future. But with that, you know, it was really funny how when it got rolled out, one of the comments a couple of days afterwards was, well, we probably didn't do a very good job of handling that. Okay, so their first step out of the gate wasn't handled well. So at this juncture, this is the group that this whole disinformation board or panel is going to be handling and identifying misinformation, and it seems to be particularly about foreign policy. And again, to 1984, the Welles book, it seems more like it's concerned about making sure everybody's take on the news is correct, that things are in line with how the government views it. Well, you see, again, that goes back to the First Amendment, a free press. It's often called the Fourth Estate. You know, we have the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the press has a significant role and a significant responsibility in the function of our government. And that is the assignment and the task of the press is to keep those in power accountable. Because one of the biblical principles of government is limited government. Again, limited government is not talking about the size. It is talking about the jurisdiction of government. What does the government control? That's the whole purpose of the Bill of Rights, is to identify the things that the government does not have jurisdiction over. And the bottom line is with this disinformation board, it's beginning to encroach. And I don't necessarily know that it's that big of a deal in some ways, other than it becomes official. That is huge, because to a large extent, the bulk of the press has been on one side of the issues now for a long time. There isn't a unbiased press at this point. It's like whoever you listen to, it's on one side or the other. And the majority of them are on one particular side. And with that, they make sure that the message and the impact, you know, we talked about last week how that the one of the reporters, now not staff, not administration, but a reporter said that Biden was going to get a bump in the polls, well, in the next couple months. Well, what does he know that's going to happen in a couple months to change things? And basically, when you read the article, what he was saying was it ultimately came down to the narrative is going to be presented differently. The narrative is going to be presented differently. It will look more favorable, and that more favorable slant will produce an increase in the polls. Well, again, we need to have a free press. That is so important. And for it to actually become an official part of Homeland Security to have a disinformation board that, and also the timing, I'll just throw this out, the timing to me was also very curious. You know, some of the things with Twitter and Elon Musk happening, that purchase and so forth, and then shortly after all of this, now we have a disinformation board. Because a lot of what happened in the acquiring of Twitter was done to increase free speech, to decrease censorship. Now, at that point, are there things that should be held accountable? Absolutely. But the bottom line is when we have people in government overviewing whether your opinion is correct and whether your opinion has the right to be expressed, that is a huge problem. We have went from a democratic republic to socialism. That's the bottom line. Every socialist country, every communist country goes there. They control the thought. There are thought police. I know you've heard this before, but the bottom line is to take that step to make this official. That tells us a lot of how they are reading the circumstances. They feel they can do this and it won't be a problem. It is insidious. It is encroaching. It is continuing to move forward to create a very controlled society. And it happened, and to mixed reviews. In all honesty, that's the thing that shocks me with so much of this. It's with mixed reviews. The basic principles of freedom are opposed to that type of situation. Well, stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we're back. And in this segment, I want to talk about what happened this week with Roe versus Wade. There was a leak that has been reported in regards to the case in Mississippi, the Mississippi case, about that decision. And it looks like, based on reports, it looks like there's going to be a overthrow of or a overturning of Roe versus Wade. What came out is that there is a probably going to end up being 6-3. Right now, possibly 5-3 with Chief Justice Roberts not having completely disclosed his view on it. Now, he has opened up an inquiry into how the leak happened, because this is not something that typically happens with the Supreme Court cases. Now, there's a couple pieces to this, and I just want to talk in this segment about the leak and the dynamics of that. And I don't know how it leaked. I don't know why it leaked. But there could be multiple reasons. And with this, I want to talk about some of those. And again, we're not going to assume motives at this point because we don't have anything. But there are some definite reasons why someone may have felt the need to leak it. And it's not beyond, unfortunately, those in the political realm to leak things on purpose, and not just to be telling it, but to be telling it for a motive. Now, there could be a couple here, couple motives. Number one, and I think this is probably least likely, and that is to let those who are in the pro-life camp to know which way things are going, and to, if you would, bolster the base from that standpoint. I tend to think that's probably not the case, because from that standpoint, there's really no benefit to that. Now, on the flip side, from that standpoint, again, looking to assist those who are pro-life, that letting that information out now gives more time for those who are opposed to abortion to begin to make plans, develop strategies. We've basically got 5 months until the November elections. If that information came out, I think they were looking originally at June or probably July, there isn't as much time to put a plan into place and to rally the troops. From that standpoint, having that information come out now will kind of dissipate it as far as the excitement on one side, but also give the other side more time to prepare. Now, a third option could also be just the idea of removing it, since it is such a political football, to remove it from the primary discussion in the November elections. Because if that is made the issue and is the prominent issue, then how that could affect the midterm elections is significant both ways. Primarily, the biggest thing would drive up turnout in the voting. Now, with this, it's not shocking to me. Matter of fact, a little over a year ago, I believe it was, I made the statement, I predicted that ultimately, not just the Supreme Court, but that in the United States, that the idea of strictly, restricting abortion would be continuing to grow, and that the primary reason for that would be science. Because when you look at an ultrasound, and you see that baby moving. I've seen a number of videos, and I've talked to people who were pro-abortion. Then they saw an ultrasound, and then they said, "Well, you can't really deny that that's a life." And that has nothing to do with their religious beliefs, the moral beliefs, other than it's a life. It's a baby. And that information, as it moves along, is going to do two things. One, especially with what the Supreme Court is doing, that is not outlawing abortion. There are some people that think that's the case. That's not the case. What if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade? What it does is it puts it back to the states. In other words, from what I have read, there's not a lot of information out there, but the feeling is, and even Ruth Bader Ginsburg at one point made the comment that the Supreme Court should not have made the decision that they did on Roe versus Wade because it was basically legislating something. The states should have went with it. Now, I think she may have moved a little bit off of that in time, but she did have that opinion. Now, we're going to have to see what the states do. My personal opinion is the states are going to be restricting abortion pretty much across the board with some isolated places. So stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back. Now, in this segment, what I want to talk about is that impact of overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, with this, I don't know if you've kept up with it or not, but there are an increasing number of states restricting access to abortion. There's a number of states that have adopted what is known as the heartbeat law. And once a heartbeat is detected, then you cannot, unless it's for the life of the mother, the welfare of the mother, to perform an abortion. Now, that is growing and that's increasing. As I said in the last segment, overturning Roe versus Wade does not outlaw abortions. It turns it back to the states. Now, with this, one of the things that I would say, especially with the number of states that are looking at ways of restricting it, there's a part of me that seriously doubts that it will be completely eliminated for a variety of reasons. But there, like recently in Oklahoma, in the last month, the state of Oklahoma outlawed abortion after a certain time period. I think it was like 14 weeks. Again, heartbeat rule, basically, a little bit past that. But then it actually voted and the governor signed performing an abortion into a felony. Now, what that basically means is that medical providers who do it are at risk of losing their license because of the felony. So, again, that creates a restriction on the abortion. Now, again, I do believe we're going to continue to see this restricted. And I do believe that the broader base of the population of the United States is going to be fine with restricting it. Because, again, the more you're going to see more and more as this debate, especially because of Roe versus Wade, as you see this debate ramp up as we head toward the midterm elections, one of the most powerful tools is that ultrasound, the sonogram, where you can see the baby. There are people, especially those who are expectant, when they see that, oh, wow, that's a baby. You know, because the whole thing that has, you know, the pro-abortion crowd has, well, it's a fetus. They don't want to call it a baby because if you think of it as a baby, then you're killing a baby. And that's been pushed. But once people see that image, oh, that is a baby. And see, what that comes back to is our fundamental principle of all men are created equal and are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these being life. That's why it's called the Right to Life movement, is because that is the most basic right. If you don't have the right to life, if the right to life is brought into question, then none of the other rights mean anything. Because if you're dead, it doesn't matter if you have freedom of speech. It doesn't matter on any of those things if you do not have the right to life. And the bottom line, I remember it was probably over 20 years ago, I made the statement that based on the approach of the pro-abortion movement, that they would eventually get to the point where they would advocate abortions, taking the life of the child, up to at least 2 or 3 years of age. Well, we're starting to see more and more of that. The state of Maryland has entertained a law about allowing up to, I believe it's 28 days after birth for the mother to decide if she's going to let the baby live. Well, I'll tell you something. That's just messed up. There's no other way to put it than that's just messed up. Again, our fundamental unalienable right to life. And the bottom line, again, is in this, and eventually, it takes a little while to get there, but, you know, as I said, my office overlooks Interstate 81 and part of Interstate 64. But if you get on 81 South, if you stay on 81 South, you're going to wind up in Roanoke. I can tell you that. I know that. Why? Because that's where the road leads. And when it comes to the whole mindset of abortion, and a lot of what's in there is, does it create a disadvantage for the people for it to live? Is that baby able to make it on its own? If it creates a severe disadvantage, if it can't make it on its own, then that even sets up for the elderly. That road will go down to the elderly, that at some point it will be fine to take their life, even if they're healthy, because they just can't maintain their, and by healthy, what I'm saying is they're not on life support or anything like that or pain, but that's where it's going to go, because if you keep going down that track, that's where it ends up. Well, stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. Now, in this final segment today, I kind of want to pull these two issues together. We spent most of our time on Roe versus Wade, but we started off with Homeland Security's Disinformation Board. Now, with this, you might say, well, what do they have in common? Well, ultimately, there is a basic principle in both of these that is common, and that is ultimately it comes down to empowering people or empowering government. Now, with that, there are those in the pro-abortion movement that would say, you know, it's the whole thing, my body, my right. At that juncture, no. It's not your body. It's another body inside your body. And somebody has to speak up for that life from that standpoint. And to allow that really is to empower government to decide who gets to live and who doesn't. And who gets to decide who lives and who doesn't. And that's a bad problem. And with that, even the Disinformation Board, again, it comes down to which way is the power shifting. See, with all of this, from the Roe versus Wade, that's been really pushed by the government, by those in power. Now, there are people who do agree with it, and I understand that. But by and large, if you, and a lot of polls, you need to look and see how the question was asked. And so many of the polls are slanted in how they're asked. Well, do you believe someone has the right? Da, da, da. And not, do you believe in abortion? Do you believe in taking the life of a child just because it inconveniences the parents? If you ask that question, the overwhelming number, I believe, in America would say, well, not just because it inconveniences them or makes money tighter. I understand those dynamics. I've worked with people, and I have encouraged them. One young girl, she was, unfortunately, she was... her pregnancy was the result of incest. And with that, talking with her, you know, I told her, I said, the child didn't do anything. I understand that you wouldn't want to keep it. I understand that. I totally understand that. but you can put it up for adoption and let that child live out its life and be able to enjoy life. It's not that child's fault what was done. Not your fault either. So adoption really gives both of you a situation where it becomes a win-win. Those are the things that we really have to begin to look at more. But government control, the disinformation board, and really, if you get right down to it, the whole abortion movement started because of wanting to reduce population. And you may hear that, well, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, if you look it up, the mafia was a conspiracy theory up into the 60s. It didn't mean it didn't exist, but it was treated as a conspiracy theory. Just because somebody calls something a conspiracy theory doesn't mean it's not right. It just means that a whole lot of people have done a good job at hiding what they're doing in a lot of situations. Now, some conspiracies are just unrealistic. But the bottom line is there's a time where you have to start looking at each tree and then backing out and seeing the forest. So many times the whole situation is presented to keep you looking at this tree. Oh, and explain that one. And next thing you know, well, there's an explanation for each one of them. But the bottom line is there's a whole forest there. That means there's something else going on. And that's the case in our situation right now in our country. There is a push. There is a substantial push to increase government jurisdiction and to increase the government's power to say what goes on. That is the antithesis of the founding of our country. That is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man, let them have dominion." Dominion was given to individuals. Civil government didn't come into Genesis 9. The basic foundation, as our founders said in the Declaration of Independence, the protection of these unalienable rights that are given by God is why governments are instituted. The God-given purpose for government is not to manage society. It is to protect the rights of the individuals in that society to whom God has given these unalienable rights. Well, God bless you. Join us again next time.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.